And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Tuesday, March 4th, 1:06 in the afternoon. I want to thank everybody for joining us this afternoon. A much different day today than it was yesterday. People were out in shorts yesterday, and today it's back to winter jackets with temperatures in the 30s. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. And, hey, we've got a special guest with Bridget. How's it going, guys?
Going great. Yes, I think this is a familiar face.
Yeah, how you doing, Dean? I miss you.
Doing good. Miss you too, buddy. We got Gary Lezak, founder of the LRC and Weather 2020, joining Bridget as Gary's down at the Commodity Classic as well. And boy, how are things going down there, guys? It looks busy.
So my first question is, Gary, first time in a sprayer?
Yeah, I was going to say, Dean. Bridget got me to come up into this sprayer. I'm like 20 feet up right now. I don't even know how this thing can move. I'm concerned how I don't even know how I'm going to get out of here. But this is an experience.
As long as she doesn't ask you to drive it anywhere, I think we're okay.
She said she needed the keys. I was like, we're not going to drive it through the conference, are we?
So this is a huge thank you to the folks here at Horsch Manufacturing. Horsch, which is based in Germany but has a manufacturing plant in Mapleton, North Dakota, they are kind enough to allow us to use the cab as a bit of a radio booth today because these cabs are all Soundguard. They have all the comforts of home. Gary got the buddy seat. I've got the air ride seat today. This particular sprayer is the Lieb, recently introduced here from Europe. There is 8 foot of clearance underneath us so we can go over the top of tall corn. We have behind us about a 1,200, well, this one would only have a 1,000-gallon water tank on it. If you did not have the super high clearance, you'd only be able to get the 1,200 tank on it. We have 120-foot of boom. And the unique thing about the Lieb, the booms fold behind us. On a lot of sprayers, the booms fold out in towards the front. So you see the sprayer booms out before you when you have it in folded up for road gear. This puts them behind, and it really opens up a window of opportunity for us to see everything around. A lot less accidents, a lot more ability to watch the crop below us.
It is one big window. I mean, like, this is something else. I mean, you can see everything, and this is where I would like to see the weather from. I think I need to be in a sprayer. Although this looks like it might cost $2 million.
So speaking of that, okay, there's a lot of folks here at Commodity Classic, which again, there's about 9,000 people here. I've had several messages from folks who said, I don't know if I'm going to get to leave today. So what's happening in the Midwestern states?
Oh, my gosh, Dean, you know, south of North Dakota, there's a massive storm. It's going to clip parts of southern Minnesota. Kansas City's in a blizzard warning, so that's amazing. I got my fans from way back when monitoring it, but it is a major, major storm. In Kansas City, there could be 70-mile-per-hour winds tonight.
And sustained or gusty?
Sustained.
Isn't that crazy?
Close to hurricane strength as possible. It'd be like a 2-minute gust. So
right.
And then with the possibility of snow, so blizzard warnings in effect.
Oh man. So what's it doing at home, Dean? Because I'm coming home tomorrow, and again, I'd like my driveway clear.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine getting home. It's cloudy today. We've got temperatures right around the freezing mark with north. We do have a wind advisory in effect through 9. We've got wind gusts up to about 40 or so today, but steady temps in the 30s, and then we're down into the teens tonight. Sun returns tomorrow, thankfully, and highs still in the 30s. In fact, we're in the 30s all week. Quiet weather this week. But again, we've got a lot of people heading down to the Twin Cities for the big hockey tournament down there. We're urging people, do not go today. Wait until later in the day tomorrow after that storm exits southern Minnesota, and they're still going to have blowing snow behind it, but at least the blizzard conditions, at least most of that, should be done. And then after that, we've got some pretty quiet weather, so we'll enjoy the quiet weather. And Gary, what I'm looking forward to, and I know only us weather geeks would be looking forward to this, when this system cycles back in April, let's say right just before mid-April or right around mid-April, I'm foreseeing a nice, I hope this is the same strength, because nothing beats a good April blizzard right before spring, right?
Right.
He says that like livestock producers are excited too, but no.
I don't think livestock, there's a lot of people, a lot of businesses that don't want it.
Right.
And then there's others that absolutely do want it. You know, some of the farms want, we need some good moisture right now. And so, yeah, when this comes back, here it is March the 4th. So April the 14th is when it would be due, somewhere about that week. There could be severe weather that week, and will it be a little farther north and impact North Dakota? That's a very good possibility.
So we've been down here. You've been talking to people from all over the U.S. What are they asking you? As a first-time exhibitor here at Commodity Classic, Gary, what are you seeing?
Amazing. You know, first of all, thank you to Dean and to you, Bridget, to Jay Thomas and the others that's spreading the word about the LRC and a cycling paddock, because there's a whole buzz.
Yep.
There's a buzz going on that I haven't felt or experienced before. People starting to realize that this is a discovery of meteorology and science, and it's beneficial for you to actually have this technology. So we've had lots of great conversations with farmers and new customers and people that are going to learn about it over the next year as well. And so the conversations have been great.
A lot of them. There's a whole stream. Today's last day, so things are probably a little more quiet, but I would bet you didn't really have a free moment yesterday.
No, we didn't. We didn't have any free moments. And even this morning, the last couple hours have been constant flow of people asking questions and asking about the old wives' tales. About, hey, if it rains on Easter Sundays, how many 45 days later it's going to do A, B, or C? I go, well, it's related to the LRC, but yes.
So, okay. Do you think that you will ever get to the point that you might make a guess at longer than 6 months?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, well, right now, when the LRC sets up in October and November, the first cycle is in motion.
Okay.
The second cycle began this year probably around November 15th.
Sure.
And then the third cycle around December, around Christmas. So we're in the fourth cycle of this year's pattern right now. So by January, you can go out February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. So through planting, growing, and harvest, in January, you get 8 months of forecast.
Yep.
Now, there's a limit because the new weather pattern is going to set up next October.
Okay.
And so as soon as we get to the summer, it's not like we'll try to predict December and January, but we know, if you know the LRC, that it will be a new pattern by then. And who would make up something that you say, hey, we're not good in December and January, but we're great from January to September?
That is a huge point.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now, okay, for folks that have been coming by, I heard one guy had a little bit of a complaint.
Yeah.
And that was, he's in Western North Dakota and he just doesn't like your forecast. he says it could be a little dry out there.
Yeah. We have pockets of dry, and North Dakota is one of those areas. I don't think there's going to be a major Corn Belt-wide drought.
Okay.
But I think these pockets that have existed in North Dakota, we will look at it, and Dean and I will do some analysis and see if those pockets are going to grow or shrink. We hope that they're shrinking. Right now, they're definitely slightly growing in North Dakota.
Okay.
And we need, as Dean says, this storm, but there's about three or four others that I think are going to hit North Dakota in late March and April, and again in May.
Okay.
So you're going to have seven or eight opportunities for precipitation.
Yeah, early,
we're going to need to have those calendars on.
Early May looked really wet. That could be a good thing or a bad thing. You don't want it all at once. But yeah, early May did look really wet up here.
Right. I agree.
I'm apparently running the Gary Lezak fan club because I'm getting text messages. Tell Gary hi. So Justin Storm, we see you. Thank you.
Hi, Justin. You're on the tip of my tongue. I'm like, should I mention Justin Storm?
Sure.
With a name like that, he's guaranteed to be a meteorologist.
I know.
You know, so for folks who are wondering what Commodity Classic is like or haven't had a chance to experience it yet, we really encourage you to come on down. Gary was kind enough to be here. Well, you live in Denver now.
Yeah, this I live now. I'm just 20 minutes from here. It's amazing. And then there's this right out in front, there's this parking that no one knows you can park there. So for 3 days in a row, I had front row parking. No, it didn't cost me a thing, and no tow or no ticket, which is good.
So you teach us about weather all the time.
Right.
Every time we visit with you, you've been doing that the whole year. Dean's got a forecast for us. But what have you learned while you're here about farming?
Oh, I learn something every single day. I mean, I hear about what drought does mean, you know, and the timing windows for planting. I'm learning, you know, oh, that means we're going to need to plant before that 3 weeks of wet weather set in.
Yep.
And so just conversations like that.
Good. So, Dean, did we preempt your whole local weather, but because Gary suddenly appeared here in the buddy seat, did we miss anything locally that people need to know?
I squeezed a quick forecast in. I said,
Dean, have you ever been in a sprayer? This is ridiculous. I can't believe
those things.
You see my view.
I know. When we film our Here We Grow project over the spring and summer. And that was my first time in some of these massive pieces of equipment when we went out and filmed that with Bridget. And they're just, yeah, they're jaw dropping.
And Addison is kind enough. If you're watching on our live stream on Facebook, on YouTube, as well as Acres TV, Addison has just posted a picture of the actual sprayer that we're in. This is the Leap. And you can see it's got the crab walk steering so that you can see that changing between the front and the rear axles. You can see the booms are all folded up on it. It's big.
That is amazing. Wait, keep that picture up there. I got to take a picture.
It looks like you need a
picture of us.
Us looking at that.
You need a ladder.
I'm in that thing.
You need a ladder just to get in that thing. Be careful when you get out, Gary.
I know.
There is.
I'm concerned. You remember, I'm 62 years old. I got to get out of this thing.
We're going to take it slowly. And we're going to do that right now. And then we're going to also get a moment to get aligned with our guest who's joining us. Dean has in studio with him Greg Lardy. Greg is the Joe and Norma Peltier Endowed Vice President for Agriculture. We want to talk about several things with Greg today. Legislative update, the new State of the Ag Economy report that's come out. The Peltier Complex is open, but there's more construction going on up at NDSU. We're going to visit with Greg about all of those things and more when we return. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. For me, coming from Commodity Classic in Denver, and I just realized I'm going to have to adjust this air ride seat. I feel like you can only see me from about the chin up on my camera view today. So if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or again, Acres TV, you please join us there. And also, don't forget, when you have questions and would like to visit, you can certainly reach out and give us a call at 701-293-9000. That is the JLA Insurance phone line, and we would love to have you call in and visit. Just like yesterday, Tom called, and I was in a Fendt tractor. That was the 900 series tractor, and his question was, will there ever be a tractor that might use natural gas or propane that comes from Fendt? And because there were tractor engineers in the booth, they were able to tell me that is not on their radar at this point. But great question from Tom, and there'll probably be many more for our guest today, and that is Greg Lardy. Greg is indeed the Vice President for Agriculture. He is the Joe and Norma Peltier Endowed Vice President. Greg, how are you?
Bridget, great. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Always a pleasure. Happy to have you and hear what's going on up at NDSU. And one of the things that's recently happened, and I have a copy of it, I emailed this to a link to Dean as well. This is the North Dakota Agricultural Industry Economic Analysis. In the short version, what does this do for the state of North Dakota? I saw you kick this off with the governor.
Yeah, we had mid-February a press conference that included Governor Armstrong, Ag Commissioner Doug Goring, Commerce Commissioner Chris Shulkin, and myself, and talking a little bit about this study. It's really the second of its kind, so we released a similar one in late 2022. So this is kind of like the follow-up, and so we'll continue to, study this and gather data as we go forward. But it really gives us a benchmark or a yardstick to compare, the state of the ag economy in North Dakota to really give us a picture of the true economic impact of agriculture in the industry across the state. And we've got two very talented scientists at NDSU, economists that work on this, Dean Bankson and Nancy Hoder. And they're just wonderful people, very talented economists, and they put a ton of work into studies like this, and they are experts in this field, so they know what they're doing when it comes to putting this together.
Go ahead, Dean.
I was just going to ask Greg, what would you say are the biggest things that have come out of this Ag Impact study so far?
Yeah, a couple of highlights. One, Dean, would be, this is a $41 billion a year industry. That's billion with a B.
Yeah.
And that's an exciting number to think about. And 125,000 jobs across the state of North Dakota. And it's a large employer, large sector. And I think the other thing that's important for people to remember is that agriculture is in every locale, every community, large towns, big, small towns, rural areas, urban areas. You can go to, Crosby and obviously find a lot of agricultural operations, but right here in Fargo, incredible, vibrant ag community here as well.
So when you have a report like this, Greg, where do you take that information and how do you use it? That's probably my first question, because you've compiled so much data and I have just pages of things to look through. Where are you going to take that and use it that's going to give you most bang for the buck, you might say?
Yeah, great question, Bridget. I think one of the primary uses for this is obviously our commodity group partners that help fund this study are going to use it to help further conversations with policymakers and influencers and others that are involved in elected office, public office. They're going to use it to talk more about ag development projects across the state. I think this is an important study when it comes to making the case for, the investments that the agricultural industry needs in terms of infrastructure. That might be rural roads and bridges. It might be additional investments in furthering value-added ventures and processing. It might also be additional investments that are needed in terms of research and development and extension programming and so on as well. So I think it's really, the uses for it are multifaceted. And depending on whether you're, within a commodity group, if you're in an ag business, if you're in public office, you might be using it for different reasons or looking at some of the data differently. But certainly, I think, a lot of our commodity groups are going to use it to further make the case that agriculture is an incredibly important industry in the state, one of the largest employers in the state, and that it's basically ubiquitous across the state of North Dakota in terms of the impact that it has.
I'm just going to use it for bragging rights. I mean, I had lunch with a group from Indiana just a little bit ago, and they said something about, well, North Dakota, there's only like 70,000 of you. Hold on. I'm going to add another zero. There's 780,000 of us, but this goes to show the impact that agriculture has in our state, and it's probably bigger than most realize as a foundational business and industry, because think about what builds off of us. And as I look at some of the statistics that you have in here, Greg, even as we look at our share of the economy, we represent 20 to 25% of all of our North Dakota economy. When it comes to the value added benefit, our direct economic output for crop and livestock production, $6.2 billion to our state's overall gross, equivalent of gross domestic product. There's nothing to laugh at there. And would you say there's probably still room to grow?
Oh, definitely room to grow. And I think as you look at, some of the efforts that the state is making to enhance livestock development, to enhance value-added processing across the state, we just had an announcement a couple of months ago of a new potato processing facility that's coming to Grand Forks. Since the report was released in 2022 to now, we had two new soybean processing plants that opened. And so a lot of things are happening here in the state that I think point to a very positive picture for the ag industry as you look out over the long term.
Greg, you started your very illustrious career with North Dakota State in Extension as a livestock specialist, correct?
That is correct.
As a livestock specialist and your foundational roots in your career, if you look at this report, and just as you said about the opportunity to bring more animal agriculture to North Dakota, would this be something you would use? Would this be something that our state extension folks would even look at and say, I can give you the background. Now let's pursue some additional industry. Do you feel like that's a pretty good spot for us to take this information as well? Because personally, yeah, I think we could grow our animal agriculture.
Bridget, definitely. And I think, if you compare North Dakota to our three neighboring states of South Dakota, Minnesota, Montana, their ag economies basically, split 50 to 55% from crop livestock production and then the balance from livestock. In North Dakota, we're about 16 to 18% of the value coming from livestock agriculture and the balance from crop production. And so North Dakota has room to grow the livestock industry. There's definitely opportunities in the state to add value to our feed grains and some of these crop processing byproducts by having additional livestock operations in the state. And so I'm excited about the future of the livestock industry here in North Dakota and, you know, what sorts of things we might be able to do in the future to really further that. And that's a direct value add. I mean, you're taking, you know, our crop commodities, corn, soybeans, the byproducts, and so on, adding value to those, creating meat and milk products, and moving them further down the chain. And so definitely room to grow here and lots of opportunity ahead of us.
Oh, I don't think I could agree more. And when you say lots of opportunity ahead of us, I'm just looking at what I see out in front of me here. And as I look across Commodity Classic, there's a lot. And we'll talk about more out of the economic report. But also, Greg has kindly offered to share some information about where we stand legislatively right now in the midst of our season, how that's looking for agriculture. But also, let's talk about construction projects that are going on up at NDSU that we direly needed. And we'll do that after bottom of the hour news break. Be right back. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus here live from the Horschlieb Sprayer Cab at Commodity Classic in Denver. And every time I sit back in the seats, I feel like I'm in the Space Commander's chair in this giant machine. It's pretty awesome. Check it out on the live stream, Facebook, YouTube, as well as Acres TV. And you are welcome to give us a call on the JLA Insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. We are fortunate to have with us today as our guest, Greg Lardy. Greg is the Vice President for Agriculture, the Joe and Norma Peltier Endowed Vice President. All right, Greg, questions for you. One of them is, there's a lot of construction dust up at NDSU for agriculture. In fact, sounds like we have 18th Street's about to become the agricultural drive, if you will. Can you fill us in?
Yeah, we've got the construction of the Bali Agricultural Field Lab ongoing now. We started last summer. That lab will house a number of programs related to our crop breeding programs, plant pathology, horticulture, potato research, just a number of crop commodities that will be in that building. We expect to have that done midsummer 2026, and we're excited to have that one come online. So, like you said, as you drive along 18th Street, we'll have the Bali Agricultural Lab, our Animal Physiology and Nutrition Center, the Jack Dalrymple Agricultural Research Complex and the Peltier Complex, all along the west side of 18th Street. So it really will become rapidly an agricultural research corridor, and we're very excited about that. We also have the Richard Offerdahl 65 Engineering Complex under construction on campus as well. And that's going to house our ag engineering, in addition to a lot of other engineering programs, the Agricultural and Biosystems Engineering Program, Precision Ag, and give those students some really neat high bay space to work in with some of the equipment and so on. So just like you're sitting in some fancy equipment, those students are going to be indoors in some very nice equipment as well as part of that construction project.
So those are who are taxpayers are listening and thinking, well, why? Why do we need these things? From a consumer looking in perspective, I can tell you that it was needed. So many things have changed in agriculture. We weren't keeping up with the time, so to speak. So these laboratories where students can work and get hands-on with items, they're vital to understanding what the industry looks like today. And frankly, some of our buildings just needed updating. So I hope that's a fair assessment, Greg, and please add any details to that if you would.
Bridget, it definitely is. And we had, you know, a number of buildings that were very out of date. And one thing that new facilities, modern facilities help us do is they help us attract and retain, you know, the top quality talent that we want to have working to solve these complex agriculture and food production research questions. They also help us attract those best and brightest students to careers in agriculture. And we all know how important getting those bright young minds are around the table to really work on that next generation of challenges that are going to face agriculture and food production across the state, the region, and the world. And North Dakota produces some of the best students that you can imagine, and getting more of those here is just part of our mission. And we announced in December a new institute, the Peltier family created Peltier Institute for Advancement in Agriculture Technology. That's designed for students that are interested in that precision ag, ag tech, ag engineering area. We're awarding scholarships in that area. We've got students that will be benefiting a great deal from the financial involvement of the Peltier family and also creating a new position in teaching in that ag tech program as well.
Getting students here,
That's really the bottom line, isn't it? Is to increase what we have with students and how we can make it better for them. And anything, if I were to run a, like, honestly, I saw a group of SDSU students here. How am I going to tell them that North Dakota State is better? How do I get them to come to us?
Well, I think, you know, it's great. The two states together just make for great, you know, obviously rivals in the athletic field, but also very complementary programs across all of what the two universities do. I've got a great deal of respect for Barry Dunn, the president of South Dakota State, and my counterpart there, Joe Cassidy, two very distinguished careers there in academia. But I think, you know, at NDSU, what we really focus on here is, you know, the high-quality undergraduate program, stakeholder-driven research, delivering that information locally through our extension channels. That's really our bread and butter, and day in and day out what we're doing every day for agriculture and rural communities across the state.
And, Greg, we've got the legislative budget coming up. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, Dean, we run our budgets for the experiment station extension are governed by the State Board of Ag Research and Education. So they create a list of priorities by listening carefully to constituent needs in the off season from the legislature. And so we're working with we just finished up in the Senate about 2 weeks ago, and they approved our budget bill. And so we've got a new position in veterinary toxicology as part of the Senate version of the bill. We've got several construction projects across the Research Extension Center network that are funded there as well. So we're very pleased with where we're at with the Senate, and we'll go to work in the House actually next week with our first hearing with the House operation, our House Government Operations Subdivision of their Appropriations Committee.
Now, we still don't have a farm bill yet. What would you like to see out of that?
Yeah, so the farm bill is still kind of in limbo in D.C. You know, we think a couple things are really important there, Dean. One would be, you know, a focus on the safety net for farmers and ranchers and making sure that those operations are sustainable over the long term. From our perspective with NDSU, part of what's in that farm bill is all the funding that happens on the competitive national level for agricultural research. And so funding for NIFA, funding for our ag research ARS partners through the USDA, and then obviously all of the things that affect rural America. So USDA Rural Development, our Food Safety and Inspection Service, NRCS, you just go down the list. There are so many things in that farm bill that are critically important to communities large and small, rural areas and urban areas. And farm bill contains the SNAP program, Supplemental Nutrition Program, which is obviously critical for supporting or dealing with food insecurity issues that are prevalent not only in urban areas but also in rural areas. So Okay. Lots of important things there. I really hope that the Congress can come together and find a way to put that all together for the betterment of all.
Right, right.
Oh, I think we'd all like to see that. And I had a chance to hear Ag Secretary Brooke Rawling speak here on Sunday afternoon. She said she, too, wants to see a farm bill happen, but considering she's had just less than 3 weeks since her confirmation, we're going to wait to see what kind of work can be done. But we do want to see those things taken care of soon. And it's not just about farming. There's a whole lot of food nutrition benefits tied to that bill as well. So we're going to see where that goes soon. Mm. Greg, you mentioned the State Board of Ag Research. Okay, and I never get SBAR right. State Board Ag Research and Extension. Did I get it right this time?
State Board of Ag Research and Education. You're very close. 80% is a passing grade,
so Bridget. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Sometimes there's a lot of acronyms in my head and they meld together. But I know some farmers and industry folks who are on that board. And how do they get there? What are you looking for to help compromise that or comprise that board so that they can help make good decisions legislatively and more?
Yeah, that board, Bridget, as I mentioned, sets the programmatic and budgetary priorities for the North Dakota Ag Experiment Station and NDSU Extension. It's comprised of two legislators that are appointed by legislative council, one House member, one Senate member. The president of NDSU is part of that board. I serve on it in an ex officio capacity, as does Ag Commissioner Goring. And then there are five members elected from the North Dakota Agriculture Coalition, and five members that are elected based on geography across the state through a selection process that's managed by NDSU Extension. And so we do have a board opening available with our south central part of the state. So basically, If you take Eddy County down through Stutzman to the South Dakota border, over to the river and back up to Sheridan County, that's the multi-county unit that we're looking for a new board member. Mark Urquhart served a term. Mark is one of the operations managers at Cavendish Farms in Jamestown, did a wonderful job for us in his term, and so his seat will come open, and so we'll be going through a selection process there. So if anybody's interested in from that geography and serving in that board capacity, we'd love to see your application, and you can contact myself or any member of my team for more information. But we would definitely, as a very important board for agriculture in North Dakota and the things that they do, you know, really set the long-term direction for all of the things that we do in the experiment station and extension to serve the state of North Dakota.
I cannot tell you how important it is when I think about the fact that NDSU is a land-grant university and the fact that people who comprise our industry and our state need to have a voice in that. Too often we have listened to things about inefficiencies and DOGE and so forth, and I don't think we run that way in this state too very much. So this is my plug to say, get involved, especially in what we do right here. So I hope that helps get people motivated to be a part of the board, Greg. I'd love to see that.
Thank you, Bridget. We'd love to see some great applications in there.
Okay. We have talked about so many great things. Greg, if folks have questions, they're wondering more about what you do, with the, again, reaching out about getting on the board, et cetera, where would you direct them to find you?
Yeah, pretty simple. All you have to do is, you know, if you're on the web browser, Google Greg Lardy, NDSU. My contact information is going to pop up. You can reach me at my office. You can reach me through email. You can reach me through cell phone. I'm going to take a little hiatus on social media beginning tomorrow for a few weeks, but you can connect with me. Easiest and fastest way is by phone, and my contact information is out there on the web.
Like, you should know, I'm traveling with one of your buddies, Jason Hansen, and so we had great Greg Lardy stories last night. I'll fill you in on them when I get back. How's that?
Not all of them may be true. There may be a little bit of exaggeration there.
I'll let him know that. Greg, thank you so much. It is wonderful to get a chance to visit with you.
Bridget, thanks for the opportunity to be here. Always a pleasure to be with you and Dean, and look forward to the next time.
Thank you so much, Greg. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Appreciate it.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll do a quick recap of the weather, and Bridget has some more ag topics to go over as well. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Tuesday, March 4th. 84 degrees outside, sunny sky. Wait. No, that's not here. No, we're looking at temperatures right around 30 degrees out there. A pretty good north breeze blowing between 25 and 35 and gusting even higher across the area. And there's some snow showers to our south and southeast areas around Alex, Fergus, stretching down into South Dakota. But that's not going to make it quite into the Fargo area. So just a breezy rest of the day with temperatures in the 30s, and then we're down into the teens tonight, and the rest of the week we'll see more sunshine. Winds will lighten up, except tomorrow will be breezy, but temperatures all week in the 30s, which is pretty close to where we should be this time of the year, Bridget, so nothing too out of the ordinary. But again, as you were talking with Gary, you know, we really could use the moisture, and if you're wondering about our moisture and what the rest of the spring looks like, log on to our website, WDAYRadioNow.com, we can also put this on Weather and Ag in Focus so we can so our ag community can see. But I put the LRC calendar up for the rest of spring for March, April, and May. And let's just say there's good news, at least, and I concentrated it to the FM area for Cass and Clay County. We can go out further, so if you do have any questions about your particular county, shoot me an email, weather@flagfamily.com, and I can break down the LRC for your particular county for you. But I know, Bridget, as Gary was saying, some farmers out in, you know, or you ran into some farmers out in the western part of the state, and man, they've just been starving for moisture. And yeah, they will have some more as we head into spring, but unfortunately, I think that far western part of the state is going to remain in at least slight drought conditions, if not moderate drought conditions, as we head into the upcoming spring. But most of the rest of the state looks to be doing much better. So that's good news. And we time out these precip events, too, with the LRC calendar. I know that's important, too, especially when it comes time for planting season as well.
Well, it's going to be great for folks to do that. And again, you can always follow along on the app and so forth that Gary has with Weather 2020, but especially follow along for us with Weather and Ag in Focus. We always have up-to-date information for you there. And speaking of up-to-date, I sent a pile of pictures to Addison yesterday and today of equipment. And so, Addison, if you want to just cue some of those up, I'll talk about what they are, what I'm seeing while I'm here, because I think this is kind of a educational moment. Right now, for those on the live stream, you can see this was the John Deere booth. They have a bunch of precision tillage coming out this year, not only in a high-speed disc, but they have reinvented, so to speak, precision tillage from their perspective. And I also saw this done in a couple other places where we're using camera systems on our tillage tools to eliminate what we called it as kids as a cultivator blight, meaning that you were supposed to be paying attention and you weren't, and you got a little off the row and you whacked out a bunch of corn plants by accident with the cultivator you were using. And so these pieces of equipment have become far more precision and accurate. In fact, one of the aftermarket manufacturers I was talking with this morning explained that there will be cameras down at a soil level, and the cameras actually know the difference in the colors of the plants that they're, so if they're looking for green plants that are out of line, it'll dig them up. But if it's in line, it'll leave them alone. And it's pretty neat to see some of this technology. So that current picture was at the John Deere booth. After that, I had an opportunity to go take a look at, this is one of the combines. This was in the Bent booth. Look at the extension auger on that thing. You can park a long ways away and be able to unload that combine. Those Fendt combines have really been coming onto the market pretty strongly, as well as Fendt has too. They have just a better price tag, right horsepower. And in fact, one of the Fendt tractors I was in yesterday, I think, is having a lot of discussion around it with some of the features that we talked about. After that one, let's see what Addison's got for me next. So one of the plant associations was here. We do have like Wheat Science Society associations across the U.S. They 3D printed some of the most common weed problems that you see in fields once they get to full maturity. They had Palmer amaranth, mare's tail, and water hemp. And if you look at those plants, they also had, giant ragweed. The plant leaves are huge. They're probably about the size of my whole hand, but the seed head on them, where you can have seeds blowing out of that effervescence, can be somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 12 inches of seeds. So these plants not only have hundreds of thousands of seeds, sometimes they're close to a million seeds per plant in these instances. After that, Addison's got for me, that is a Y-drop. So that was a sprayer that I saw in a different booth, not in the particular sprayer I'm in right now. But that is literally an extension of the sprayer boom, and it drops down into a Y shape. And so you can go on through the field, and those Ys will go on either side of a plant row and drop nutrients or whatever it is that you might be putting down in the field. Y drops get used when you want to be very site specific in your application, whether it's for fertilizer, micronutrients, etc. But they are just a big extension of the booms. They're a little different than some may see on a regular day, but we do use them in different parts of the United States. In fact, I've watched them get used on corn in the Dakotas before as well. I'm sure Addison will tell me when I run out of pictures. We had some good ones from yesterday, though. Now, there's that gold Fendt tractor we talked about yesterday. And that is actually a great showpiece for them. They did it up to talk about their Gold Star service. And then the tractor got signed by Secretary of Ag Brooke Rawlings. It'll be on display in Jackson, Minnesota at their production factory for a time. It will make an appearance at Farm Progress, which is going to be held in Indiana this year. And you'll be able to see it there at the end of August. And after that, well, we're not really sure. They weren't able to tell us yet. This pickup is a service pickup that fits part of the gold standard that Fendt is talking about as well. where it's not just having a brick and mortar store anymore, but the dealership literally comes to you on wheels with a service technician to work on your equipment in the most efficient manner possible. On the hood of that truck, one of the things they had on there was a giant FFA emblem to show their support for youth organizations as well as a company of AGCO. So it's been a great opportunity to be down here and see so many of these things. I had the chance to visit with local businesses like Red E from West Fargo, Prairie Ag from West Fargo, Farm Rescue from Horace, and Ellingson Drainage. I saw several of their folks down here. It really has been an excellent show. People are here to want to learn, to visit, and the trade show is going to wrap up here probably in the next couple hours, and then boom, on the road and home for me. So there you go. There's kind of a quick wrap up of what's happening, Commodity Classic.
And you're leaving tomorrow, correct, Bridget?
Yeah, I'm okay, not getting caught in anything you're trying to throw my way today.
Good. Just making sure you're not leaving today. That might not be a good idea. Although you're heading in the right direction. You're heading out of it, but still could be a little bit.
We anticipated some snow or rain last night, and there was nothing this morning in downtown Denver anyway.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was further east on the Front Range. Did you get anything this afternoon or nothing?
I don't know. I've been inside this building since 8 o'clock.
Well, there you go. Okay. Well, we want to thank everybody for joining us. For Bridget, myself, we'll be back here tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Be sure to join us for Weather and Ag in Focus then. Right now, the Jay Thomas Show, that's coming up next.